So we just celebrated Thanksgiving in a most, seems like unusual way, limited in numbers and gathering, and socially distanced, and that might have been the best behaved I think my parents have been in a long time. Would you agree? Yeah, agree. I mean, it was great to have them in that spot. But no, it was good. It was a challenge, wasn't it? It was a challenge. And in that, we kind of have a little thing that we'll do at our house sometimes, and it's not just on Thanksgiving, but it can be on just about any day, of asking the girls, you know, what are you thankful for? What are you grateful for? And we get various answers, as you can imagine, from a 5-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 18-year-old. It can vary across the board. Sometimes I think they conspire to ask that question on a day that I may not be in the best mood, just to make me feel bad, just to be like, hey, Dad, what are you grateful for? Well, I'm like, grumble, 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 grumble. Sometimes I wonder if they do that, if they kind of conspire. But perhaps you went through the same thing for Thanksgiving of maybe thinking of things that you were thankful for or grateful for. And I think that that's an interesting thing in our day. And it made me think about what does Thanksgiving or thankfulness look like from a scriptural perspective, from a biblical author. When they wrote the word thank you, what did that mean to them? And I think that's an interesting thing to think about, how they saw this and how this works together and plays together for us. And so here was kind of the question that I thought to myself, why should we be thankful when we give thanks during Thanksgiving? And you may read that question and immediately have an answer. You may immediately think, gosh, that's kind of a silly question, Jeremy. We have so much to be thankful for. Even those who are, you know, we would consider least among us are you know, in comparison to many people in the world, are exceedingly blessed. And so as a Christian concept, the thought of Thanksgiving, I think it can be somewhat central to our belief system. If you think about it, we say thank you often. At least I think you do. I would think that you do. There's a lot to be thankful for, right? But have you really stopped to ask yourself why? Why it is that being thankful is central or core to being a Christian, to being a follower of Jesus? There's actually perhaps a reason why, but I think maybe it's possible that it's misplaced. I'm not saying that you've misplaced it. I'm saying it's possible. Because oftentimes when we have the what am I grateful for, thankful for conversation at our table, it usually revolves around things that they have or things that have happened to them. And it makes me ask the question, is it possible to be thankful when maybe you don't have or things have not happened for you that are a blessing? So it's easy. I think we focus on what we have, family, friends, things, where we live, and etc. But like I said, what if we don't have anything? What does that look like? And so I began to think to myself, maybe we can get some insight from these ancient authors, because sometimes these ancient authors didn't have anything to be thankful for. Sometimes they were writing about being thankful when they were in locations you would never think that they could find any Thanksgiving in. Sometimes they were writing about being thankful while they're exiled to other lands after they've watched their people go through tremendous, you know, pains, death, murder, everything else. And they found ways to write about being thankful. And so let's look on that. Are you ready to maybe just take a quick journey with me? You're going to learn, I'm going to show you two Hebrew words, but you're going to learn one today that you can actually take from here and use. And I'll give you a way to remember it. It's fairly simple. When it comes to being thankful, the word thanks or thankful in the Hebrew Bible, there is a root word that comprises that. And that root word is yada. It's essentially yada. It's the root word. It's a three-letter root word. And in Hebrew, they, to make verbs and nouns, you add letters and add vowels and do all these kind of things to them. But this is kind of the core root word of it. And it's used about 168 times in all the different forms throughout the Hebrew Bible. And that little chart that you see down there, that tells you the words that we've translated them into English, and how often we do that. So you can see that and see out of the 168 times, almost two-thirds of the time we translate yada as thank or thanking or thanks. The red box is praise. There's one that's kind of strange. You notice that one in the orange? Confess or confessed, like confess your transgressions, yada, is sometimes used for that. Is that strange? Strange how it gets translated that way. It's an ancient language. We do the best we can with it. Yada. But if you found yourself in Israel, this is a verb form, by the way, yada, it's the verb. If you found yourself in Israel or somewhere where someone's speaking Hebrew and you wanted to say thank you, you wouldn't say yada. You would say this word, todah. So you can say it. Just go ahead and repeat it. Todah. Todah. Okay, here's a way you can remember it. You're getting up from bed in the middle of the night because you have to use the restroom. And you're familiar with that? And somewhere along the way, God has moved the wall into the path of your big toe. And you toe, boom, toe, and go, duh! And in that moment where you want to say, give praise to God the wrong way, okay, you say, thank you, right? You say, thank you, right? So it's toda. Okay, that's a way to remember it, toda. Thanksgiving or praise. This is the noun form of thanksgiving. There's a noun form for thanks in Hebrew scripture. And you can see that about, again, two-thirds of the time, it's translated as thanksgivings or thanks, praise. And there's confession again. Isn't that interesting? Can you imagine using the word todah or thank you as a confession, a way to confess transgressions? It's interesting how it gets used. We don't have enough time today to really get into that, but it's an interesting picture when we see that. Todah. There you go. Now you know. Todah. Thank you. In Hebrew. You can go use that on your friends. The first time we see yada, the root of this used in Scripture, we have to wait for 30-some chapters in Genesis. And it gets used in a way that's kind of surprising. In not a situation that you would be very thankful for, quite frankly. It's used with Jacob and Leah. The story in Genesis, one of the patriarchs. Back in Genesis 29, way back there, and it's Jacob. We've got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob has married Leah because he was tricked into marrying her. And if you remember the whole story, there's Jacob. He and Esau, his brother, have a little tiff, and Jacob flees and runs away, and he gets with Uncle Laban, his uncle, right? And he lives with him for a while, and he meets one of his daughters, Rachel, who's apparently just beautiful. And she has an older sister, Leah, who is not as attractive, apparently. And so he agrees to work for Uncle Laban for 7 years for Rachel's hand. And so he works those 7 years, and then he goes to the wedding ceremony, and they consummate the marriage that night in the tent, and he wakes up the next morning, and he takes off her veil after they've consummated the marriage, and it's Leah. He's been tricked. And he comes out, and he's like, what is this evil you have put upon me? And he's like, well, she's the oldest daughter. If you want to get to Rachel, you got to marry the oldest one first. But if you work another 7 years for me, you can marry Rachel, the one who you really want to marry. And so Jacob works another 7 years. Guys, how many of you would do this for your wife? It's an interesting question. 14 years to get to the one that he wants. And so he gets to Rachel, and then in order for him to leave, he essentially has nothing. He's been working all this time for Uncle Laban, and he makes an agreement with Uncle Laban to get his own flocks. And that takes like another chunk of years of time. I mean, the guy has spent He's been tricked, which is funny because Jacob's the one who tricked his brother, and he's just getting turnabout as fair play. Leah is not loved by Jacob, and she knows it. And when the Lord saw, that's how this starts, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he begins to make it so that she can have children with Jacob. All right, so that's the setup for the story. When the Lord sees Leah, Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "The Lord has noticed or seen my misery, and now my husband Jacob will love me. I've given him a son." Because as it turns out, Rachel, the one that Jacob loves, she's barren. She can't have children. "But now my husband will love me. I can give him sons." And that name Reuben is "I saw a son." Ra'ah. Reuben, I saw a son. Soon she became pregnant again and gave birth to another son, and she named him Shimon. "For the Lord heard that I was unloved and has given me another son." He heard Shema, just like the Shema in Deuteronomy 6, the prayer of Israel. Shimon, he heard me. She then became pregnant a third time. She's doing pretty good. And gave birth to another son. He was named Levi. For she said, "Surely this time my husband, who is Jacob, will feel affection or feel attached to me, since I have given him three sons." This name is a little harder to parse. It can mean affection or attached. It can have a hard time with this particular one. But you kind of get the sense that as long as I keep giving him sons, maybe he'll actually care about me. This is a pretty sad, thankless situation, isn't it? Ladies? Moms? That you've got to be pumping out sons in order to get noticed at all? We've never heard of anything like this in southern Idaho. She's got three kids. And here we go. You ready? "Once again, Leah became pregnant and gave birth to another son. She named him Yehuda." Yada. Yehuda. "For she said, 'Now I will praise or thank Yada.'" It's actually Oda. "The Lord." And then she stopped having children. We don't know why she stopped it. She'll have more. But apparently it's not working, getting the attention of her husband. Maybe Jacob just was like, "That's enough." That's the first use of the word thanks or thank you in Scripture, in the Hebrew Bible. And it becomes the core root of the name of Judah, Yehuda. "I will praise Yahweh, Yehuda. I will thank him." It's the root of his name. One of the tribes of Israel, Judah, is rooted in the word thanks. Isn't that interesting? That's where it starts. Becomes part of the history. Every time you hear about Judah, anytime anyone would utter his name, they would recognize, praise God. It's fascinating. Thank God, Yehuda. The next times it show up, it's kind of fascinating. It's interspersed all the way through, but I want to show you kind of how a prophet would use this particular verb. "Oh Lord, I will honor and praise Yada, your name, for you are my God. You do such wonderful things. You planned them long ago, and now you have accomplished them." It sounds wonderful, this chapter of Isaiah 25. If you want to see the context in which this is written, go read it. Isaiah 25, because right after this, it gets into how God punishes his enemies. And it gets a little dark. Gets a little dark kind of on the way through there. God destroys the cities and fortresses of his enemies, but he becomes a refuge to the poor. And that's what Isaiah, the prophet, is thinking. "I will honor and thank Yada, your name, because you remember the poor and you take care of the things that matter." You do such wonderful things like that, things you planned a long time ago. The psalmist uses this word. Here we go. Thank you, yada, for making me so wonderfully complex. Some of you will know this verse. I have been, you might know it this way, fearfully and wonderfully made, if you've heard that term. That's this verse. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. And then again, when you go on and you read this particular psalm, there's so much. It's about really recognizing what God has done within creation and basically placed us here within it to say, enjoy my blessing, enjoy this good thing that you have. It's reminiscent of another psalm where it says, what is a human that you think so highly of us? We're dirt that's been breathed into. Who are we? Thank you. Thank you. That's how the verb form is used. Remember I said there's a noun form, todah. Todah. This one shows up in the most interesting of places. It's in that favorite Christian book in the Hebrew Bible, Leviticus. It's the first place this word shows up. If you present your peace offering as an expression of thanksgiving, the usual animal sacrifice must be accompanied by various kinds of bread made without yeast, thin cakes mixed with olive oil, wafers spread with oil, and cakes made of choice flour mixed with olive oil. This peace offering of thanksgiving must also be accompanied by loaves of bread made with yeast. The meat of the peace offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the same day it is offered. None of it may last until the next morning. I think this is the root of where we got Thanksgiving celebration. The goal is to eat all of the meat off of the bird before the next day. And you have different kinds of breads and cakes and things that you bring. And what was it? It's a peace offering. It's a todah. It's a word for a sacrifice. The word is used as a sacrifice. And there's three different kinds that really kind of happen within here. There's like a thanksgiving offering, one that expresses gratitude or, you know, for blessings that you've received. You can bring an offering to the temple or the tabernacle in this case for that. It could be that you made a promise to somebody and you fulfilled the promise. You made a vow and you fulfilled the vow and now you're bringing a sacrifice to indicate this is a peace offering between us. I've completed the vow and we're going to go before God and say that everything is good. I've paid the contract, right? That was another way that you could do it. It could also just be a free will offering, just spontaneous, something just devoted to God. But in all of the cases, thanksgiving came in the form, the substance of a peace offering. Todah was something you brought to the tabernacle. It's a thing. But it gets more interesting than this, because as Scripture begins to kind of evolve, the psalmist begins to write about some things. And he says, here's what he said. Make thankfulness, todah, your sacrifice to God, and keep the vows you made to the Most High. How does one bring thankfulness? It's a question that I ask myself. How do you bring some? How do you present thankfulness? I mean, in Leviticus, you bring a sacrifice, but that doesn't really work in today's modern Western culture. If my 18-year-old daughter, at some point in her life, decides she wants to be grateful for the things her parents did for her, and she brought a lamb and some unleavened and leavened bread and some cakes, and we slaughtered it in the backyard, I would kind of just see that as a pain in the butt. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you for bringing this to my house. Thank you. Does she have to bring that to bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving? Or can she just bring thanksgiving? Can she bring thankfulness? Like, how does that work? The psalmist says this too, giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me, that's God. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. Thanks is a sacrifice. Wow. Our giving thanks is something that honors God, leads to salvation, and it counts as a sacrifice. It's not 100% clear on how you bring thanks as a sacrifice. Do you just say it? Is it an attitude thing? What is it? How do you know? How do you know? Well, as it turns out, when you shift over into the New Testament, after some of those folks had some time to think about and consider what Jesus had said and done, in light of what was written in their Hebrew Bible, they began to put some things together. And especially Paul began to put some stuff together. And he began to write about this. And this isn't one that's a go-to one. There's one that's very direct, but you know, I thought that might end the message early, and I want to keep you here. Just kidding. Here's how a New Testament author, Paul, talks about thanksgiving. He starts with, live peaceably with each other. Live peaceably. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone, see that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances. It opens with live peaceably. What did we see in Leviticus? A peace offering was an offering of thanksgiving. How does Paul close his summary here? Live peaceably with each other, be thankful in everything. He bookends all of this. The word for thanksgiving in Greek is a word you've possibly heard, especially if you've got a Catholic background. It's Eucharist. In this particular case, be Eucharist in all circumstances. You might not recognize that word, Eucharist. You may know it in our world as communion. And if you don't recognize that word, that's when you go to church and they may give you a little piece of unleavened bread and maybe a grape juice or a water or a wine. And you celebrate what they call the Last Supper, and some traditions call that the Eucharist. It's the Thanksgiving sacrifice. And Paul is tying this together to say, hey, live peaceably with each other. You want to know what an offering of thanksgiving, a Thanksgiving sacrifice looks like? Well, do this. Live peaceably with each other. If you find people who are lazy, warn them. Hey, dude, get going. We don't have a lot of time. If people are afraid to engage and go out and live the life that they should live, encourage them. It's okay. You'll be safe. I'll go with you. Take tender care of those who are weak. There are some who aren't able to do this, so be tender with them. Make sure you take care of them. Oh, and while you're doing all of that, be patient with everyone. See that no one returns evil for evil, and always try to do good. Always, to each other and to all people, even if they came into the country illegally, even if we don't agree with them, even if they're of a completely different religion. You notice he doesn't distinguish here. All people, always be joyful, never stop praying, really important, and be thankful in all circumstances. Why, Paul? Why? Well, this is God's will for you. that you bring your sacrifice of thanksgiving. Your sacrifice of thanksgiving is comprised of being this kind of person, of being this. It's about being something. And I don't know, these are commands. I mean, this is the will. Paul would essentially say, this is what God has asked you to do. No, not asked. Has commanded us to do. This is our peace offering of thanksgiving. This is what it's made of. Thanksgiving, something you bring. It's an offering, todah. Giving thanks is something that you do. That's kind of like praise, right? But Paul comes together and he says, I'm asking you to be thankful. It's what you become. It's your purpose. In short, here's the quick little summary. We become walking, living, breathing sacrifices of thanksgiving that we offer ourselves to the Lord by doing the kind of things that he's asked us to do. We become a living sacrifice. Paul would write about this in other writings where he'd say, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. We become the thanksgiving offering when we follow Jesus. When we begin to do the things that he's asked us to do, we are bringing the sacrifice of thanks before the Lord. This is kind of our purpose. And it wasn't completely clear in the Old Testament. Your thanks is a sacrifice. Well, what does that look like? Take care of the poor. Take care of the orphan. Take care of the oppressed. Take care of the widow. Anyone you see who's under an oppressive system, they're your target. And do that with patience and kindness and mercy. What if they're my enemy? They're all humans. Your job is to reconcile humans to God. And the way you do that is by offering yourself up as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's to say, thank you to God. I will present myself and work on your behalf in this way. It's a what you become. It becomes your purpose. I think that this is just kind of mind-boggling to me. For us in a Western society and culture, in a culture that is just so rich in wealth, I think it's really easy to sit around a table at a time like Thanksgiving and identify the things that we would be thankful for, because they're things that we can have in our hand. Let me tell you why I think this concept of us being the sacrifice becomes really powerful. Some folks have trouble finding thanksgiving unless they have something in their hand that they can attribute to being given to them by God. Did you follow that? They've got to have something from God that they can identify in hand to say, I'm going to give thanks for this thing. And this is an interesting concept from a Western perspective, because this means that God has to put something in my hand. He has to sacrifice something to me, for me to be thankful. The way the system is set up here in Scripture is to say, I woke up today and I'm capable of never ceasing prayer, of trying to be someone that can reconcile others in peace. I can love other people unconditionally. I can walk out God's purposes today, even when I don't necessarily feel like it. And I will become an offering that God is thankful for, that he looks at and says, thank you for offering. It's what I asked you to do. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but it really is the twist in the Scripture. Too often, I think we're looking at what we have and as though someone made an offering to us, and we go, oh, thank you. And it kind of puts us in the position of being God versus the other way around, which is I'm actually here to spend my life and my time to serve him in what he's asked me to do. And I become a sacrificial offering of thanksgiving in all that I do. And it's a radically different way to look at our culture and our life and everything that we have and everything that we do. When we do everything with the attitude of thanksgiving, is this going to bring thanksgiving as a sacrifice? What does that look like? It really looks different in our lives. And I think that that kind of thing is what the world, what people in the world, they get. It's kind of what this generation that's coming up, my oldest daughter's generation, I think there's this sense of consumption, and they're kind of tired of all of that. Just this material thing. There's just so much of it. Many people are driven to give of themselves, you know, and this is exactly what it's about. It makes it so you can actually connect with people. People want to give. People want to do things for others. Scripture gives them a reason, a built-in reason why they can do that. I think this is the kind of thing that the world gets excited about seeing and hearing. They get excited about seeing people who are thankful. They understand their purpose is to offer themselves and what they have to the world. And I think that we could make some great changes in our world if we could learn to live that way. And that's my prayer for us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our time together this morning. Father, we had such a bounty, I'm sure, many of us, of food and that around. Father, we know there are some who did not have that as well, and that's where our minds can go, is to those who may not be able to find reasons to be thankful, who may not understand their value to you. And Father, would you help us understand how to reach them so that they can see that they, as a part of your creation, are important, that they are valued members of your kingdom? Father, would you give us the courage to reach out to them? And would you give us the insight and wisdom to recognize when we're being grateful and thankful for things rather than being the grateful and thankful sacrifice that we've been made to be? Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you made all this possible through Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.